Welcome to the Middle East Report, your connection to truthful reporting on Israel and the Middle East. Each week, we connect you to the people, places, and geography of the land of Israel, the people of Israel, and the geography, and just all the amazing things there in that part of the world in the Middle East. And of course, we keep you informed of the current events that are happening there in that region as well. Today, we are going to take a virtual tour of the land of Israel. I know some of you have never been to Israel. Some of you have been to Israel. We're going to go there today in an audio version. So I hope that you'll just continue to listen here to the Middle East Report. Dr. Hagai Devir serves as the head of the tourism product section at the Israel Nature and Parks Authority. He's a licensed tour guide certified by the Ministry of Tourism in Israel, and he holds a PhD in Israel Studies and Archaeology from Bar-Ilan University in Israel. He holds an MBA from the Technion Institute. He's got an electrical engineering degree. I mean, so many amazing degrees. He is so knowledgeable on the land of Israel. And we are so happy to have you here with us today, Dr. Hagai. We actually met in Israel last year.
Right. Thank you so much, John. I'm so happy that God connected us again. Thank you for this opportunity, and I'm very happy to be with you today.
Well, you have so many qualifications. I mean, you are an archaeologist. You've studied the Bible, and you've traveled all over the land of Israel. You are helping Christian groups come in and all different groups just see the beauty of the land of Israel. Before we get into all of that, and before we take this virtual tour in the land of Israel, tell us a little bit about your family. You live in Israel, where you live?
Yes, I live in Israel. I live in the Galilee, not far from the Sea of Galilee, like 10 minutes driving. So I'm in the midst of this special spiritual area. And I have 5 kids. All of them are grown up. 3 of them are married, with a total of 3 grandkids. The last year and a half was challenging, and we thank God for all the miracles that we see and the support. We would like also to take this opportunity and thank you here in United States of America and in the Christian communities for such a support and love that you show for us.
Well, we have so many people who are listening right now who, of course, love the land of Israel, love the Jewish people, have been praying for everything that's been going on there. It's been challenging. Our God has been faithful to the Jewish people and to the land of Israel through it all.
Right. And really, you know, in the midst of all this evil and bad things that happened to almost all of us in the land of Israel during these months, there is even no one family in Israel that didn't have some connection to something that happened. We see the miracles. And I will just mention again one miracle, and I would like to thank God for that. And this miracle relates to my daughter, which used to live in one of the kibbutzim near Gaza. And on the 7th of October, she was at her home with her husband and my 2 grandkids, age 3 and 1. And when the shots starts and the massacre starts, they were trapped in the security room for 16 hours, where this murderer is knocking on the door, trying to get through, but they didn't succeed. And we were in contact with them through the texting. And, you know, there is one texting that my kid wrote to me, my daughter, and she said, "Pray for us." And this was very, very touching. And we thank God that by the end of this event, they were able to be rescued, and we have them today. Unfortunately, this is not the situation for many, many other families.
We have so many that just heard what you shared right now, and they are praying as well. But we do ask everybody to please pray for the families, pray for the trauma that Israel has faced, and we all are believing for every one of these hostages to come back. Dr. Hagai, you're an archaeologist. You traveled all over the land of Israel. You have your pulse on what's happening there in the land of Israel. New things are being discovered all of the time, and we want to take a virtual tour to the land of Israel. I've been there multiple times. Sadly, there's some of you who are listening right now who have never been to the land of Israel. We want to encourage you to go to the land of Israel because it's life-changing when you know, read the Bible and then you see the places that you read in the Bible. So let's take a virtual tour of the land of Israel for those who have never been there. Obviously, we're not going to be able to do this completely, because it would take days and days and weeks to go through the entire land of Israel. But we're going to start in Jerusalem because there's some amazing things happening in the capital of Israel.
Actually, it's not only in Jerusalem, in Jerusalem area, in the Judean hills. And we will start before we come to the days of Yeshua and his disciples. I would like to start with the biblical event of the King Hezekiah when he was the ruler of Jerusalem. And he was confronted by this huge king, Nebuchadnezzar, from Babylon. He made his way into the land of Israel and conquered the north, and he conquered many, many cities at the way to Jerusalem, but he stopped in Lachish. Lachish used to be a city which is second in important to Jerusalem, and we can read that in Jeremiah. And Jeremiah mentioned to us, Lachish was conquered. And today when we come to Lachish, we are able to see that in our own eyes. We are able to see, Jeremiah is saying, at this time the Babylonian army was besieging Jerusalem, Lachish and Azekah. So the besiege on Jerusalem didn't succeed. There was a big miracle by God hitting all the soldiers of the Babylonian king, but Lachish was conquered. And today when you come, there is a new visitor center that was opened recently, just a couple of months ago. And you can see a nice movie, and you can see also full-size replica of the walls of the Babylonian palace of King Nebuchadnezzar. We're showing that the surrenders of Tel Lachish are providing gifts to King Nebuchadnezzar when he sits on his chair. This is replica of inscription that was up to now only in the British Museum, and now it is replicated to the land of Israel in one-to-one size. So this is amazing. You can stand there, you can read the Bible scripture, you can see also the archaeological findings, and you can see that they match. They match the same story before our eyes. So from Tel Lachish we go north, and now we'd like to go to several sites in the Galilee, at the footsteps of Yeshua. You know, Yeshua, most of his ministry in the Galilee, he has a base. And his base used to be Capernaum, at the seashore of the Sea of the Galilee. And then he went to the other villages and he was preaching in their synagogues. We call it the evangelical triangle. And it's amazing that when you stand on the top of one of these hills, like Tel Kinneret or other hills nearby Capernaum, you can see 80% of the New Testament verses come before your eyes. And from here, I would like to take you to two trips that Yeshua have done. One of them is to the north, to Caesarea Philippi, and the other will be to the other side of the Sea of the Galilee, to the land of the Gerasenes.
We have a lot to do here in the Middle East Report, and I want to go back to Lachish and talk a little bit about that, and then we're going to move on to some of these other locations. But Lachish is in the southern parts of Israel. I want our listeners to understand how important Lachish was, this town, this city that was very high. It was located on a major roadway where, you know, the empires of the world would come through, and whoever had that would control things. So explain that to our listeners on the importance of Lachish and how all of that worked.
Right. In order to understand that, we can just imagine the geographic structure of the land of Israel. Land of Israel is very thin from north to the south. And on the west side, there is the line of the seashore. And then comes the line of the mountains, and then comes the line of the Jordan Valley. It's very, very easy to understand that. So whenever empire is moving with their army, for example, from Egypt to Babylon, or from Babylon to Egypt, they need to cross the Canaan. They need to cross the land of Israel, and they normally cross it through the seashore or through the Jordan Valley. So we call it the biblical highway. Now, if you would like to go to Jerusalem, then you need to leave the seashore and you need to go inside the mountains area, because Jerusalem, as it is written in the scriptures, mountains surrounding it. So it is in the middle of a mountainous area. And this is why Lachish, which is located on the junction of the road going to Jerusalem, was so important to the Babylonian king. And this is why before he went to conquer Jerusalem, he conquered Lachish. But that was his last achievement, because when he came to Jerusalem and he was besieging the city, then the God sent his angel and he hit all the soldiers of the Babylonian army and they went back to their country.
You can read about that in the Word of God. You can actually see where this took place as you come and travel to the land of Israel. Now, staying in Lachish for just a few more moments, are there any archaeological developments that are new there, or maybe some of the key things about Lachish that have been already discovered?
Lachish, we know also not only from the archaeology that was found on the tell, on the artificial mound itself, but also from other places. Lachish is mentioned as the place where the Babylonian king has have a fight, a battle, and he was able to conquer. This is what I mentioned. These are the inscriptions and the walls that were written by the king's people on the walls of the palace. And we see there hundreds of people walking, and there is an inscription saying, these are the surrounders of Lachish, and they are being surrounded before the king. And everybody's asking, why? What is it so important for the king of Babylonia to put Lachish, a small town in the land of Israel? And the reason is because he was not able to conquer Jerusalem. He says in his inscription, I was able to put Hezekiah, the king of Israel, as a bird in a cage, but I was not able to conquer it. So this is why Lachish becomes the prime location where he shows everybody, see what I conquered, see what I have achieved when I conquered the land of Israel.
Well, let's move on to Capernaum. Let's dig into Capernaum a little bit more and tell us a little bit more about, you know, some of the things that are on your heart.
So Capernaum is the amazing site. It's a Jewish fisherman village just nearby the Sea of the Galilee. And the excavations that were done there exposed two important locations. One of them is the ancient synagogue. And when we read in the scriptures that Yeshua came to preach in the synagogue and then they were calling him and saying, the daughter of the synagogue, the head of synagogue, Yair, his daughter is ill, she's going to be dead. And he came and said, okay, he said to her, please stand up. And she stood up. And this is the miracle that we always quote, and some other miracles. And 25 meters from the synagogue, the excavation exposed what is believed to be the house of the stepmother of Peter. And this is where Yeshua used to stay in Capernaum and preach. And you can see there the archaeology. You can see the walls, but you cannot see the roof. And you know what? Because the roof was not from stones. The roof was made from wood and from mud. And this explains us the scriptures that say that when this disabled person that wanted to be blessed by Yeshua came, they took him and they opened in the roof a place and then put him down. And when you stand there and you look into the archaeology and you see the walls, but you don't see the roofs, and you see how roofs are being built in this ancient time, you can understand better the scriptures.
And that, again, is one of the things that you will experience when you travel to the land of Israel. And we encourage you to pray about that. Maybe plan a trip to the land of Israel and see the beauty of the nature, see the beauty of all of these archaeological sites. And I think it's important to note that Capernaum, of course, we're talking about Yeshua, which is the Hebrew name of Jesus. He spent so much of his ministry there in that particular town. And that particular town, by the way, was also located on a major roadway. So I think that's also very interesting. We could talk a lot about that. Well, let's go ahead and move on a little bit. I want to go to the Mediterranean area and talk about Caesarea Maritima, which is a beautiful place along the Mediterranean. We're leaving the Sea of Galilee, where Capernaum was. So we're going to travel back over to the Mediterranean now and talk about Caesarea Maritima. What is that?
Yes, Caesarea Maritima is a port city that was built by Herod the King, Herod the Great. And it used to be the big city of the Roman soldiers and the Roman ministry in Israel. And for us as believers, when we come to this area, it mentions us the story, what is written in the scriptures about Paul. And we read that in Acts And in Acts we read that Paul was actually imprisoned and taken in Jerusalem, and then some Jews tried to kill him. And then the governor, the Roman governor, said, okay, I will send like 200 soldiers and they will take you all the way to where? To Caesarea Maritima. But when they came to Caesarea Maritima, the governor was so not with a good will, so he left. He left Paul. He forgot about Paul, and he left Paul for 2 years. And we read that. I open now Acts 24. After 2 years went by in this way, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and then Festus is the new governor. And only then, after 2 years, did he discuss and called Paul and asked him, what is your story? And then Paul told him, I have done nothing. I have done nothing. All what I said is I preach for God. And you know what? I'm a Roman citizen, so I would like to be judged before the Caesar. I would like to go and be judged before the Caesar. And then he said, Yoel, you have appealed to Caesar, and to Caesar you will go. And then we know the rest of the story, that he then moved to Rome. He was also imprisoned in Rome. Keep in mind, he's calling himself ambassador in chains. Ambassador in chains. This is in one of his apostles. What does it mean about ambassador in chains? We can come today to Caesarea Maritima. We just open this underground prison. It was closed for many years. And now, just a couple of months ago, we opened that. And you can go down the steps below the trial area, which used to be the palace, the private palace of Herod the king. And you can stand in a cistern, a water cistern that was turned to be a prison. By the way, there is an inscription from a later date, from the Byzantine time, say, Jesus, please help me. Which means that also after Paul's time, still Christian prisoners were jailed in this place. And we can sit there and talk about the ambassador in chains.
You know, I've been to Caesarea Maritima many times, but unfortunately, I've never had the opportunity to go down into this area that you are speaking of, Dr. Haggai. And now, when I travel back to Israel, that's on my list. I am going to go there. I'm going to walk down those stairs, and I am going to see the place that where Paul was imprisoned, because it is now open. And as you're listening right now, you can go there. Caesarea Maritima is located on the Mediterranean, a beautiful location. And this palace that you're talking about jutted out into the Mediterranean. I mean, absolutely gorgeous. You can still see some of the remnants of that. And when you travel to Israel, you're going to see this. You are going to see all of these archaeological things that are going to just pop out at you because you've read about it in the Bible, and it's going to be an incredible experience for you. Where are we going now?
So if we're talking Paul, let's follow Paul to Damascus. You know, Paul, Shaul, in his Hebrew name, was first one of the people that wanted to chase after the Christian, the believers, but he has a conversion. And the conversion happened on the way to Damascus. And I'm reading now from Acts 9. As he was approaching Damascus on his mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. So he fell down, and then he heard, Saul, Saul, why you are chasing after me? Which is taken from what we know from the Old Testament, that King David was preaching to King Saul. And this conversion on the way to Damascus is something that we can see today when we come to the land of Israel. If we drive from the evangelical triangle, from Capernaum to the north, up to the north, we can come to the area of Caesarea Philippi, which is Banias National Park today. And on top of Banias, we can see the Mount Hermon. So Hermon is a biblical name. And there is also the place of the covenant there, which is goes back to our father Abraham. This is a biblical site, and we can see there the road to Damascus, the Roman road to Damascus that Paul sent. And we can stand and you can read this chapter, these verses talking about the conversion of Paul, and we can internalize that and say that each one of us can have a conversion.
We're just taking a fast tour here of the land of Israel, and this is exciting. And if you're keeping up right now, we are in the northern parts of Israel called the Golan Heights. Mount Hermon is this beautiful mountain that is in the northern part. And during the wintertime, you'll see snow up there. There's a ski resort up there. It is absolutely gorgeous.
Just if we are already nearby Mount Hermon, let's go to Caesarea Philippi itself.
Yes.
To the cave where there was a pagan worship by the god Pan. Pan gave this place the name Panias. It came from the Hellenistic pagan god Pan. Now, we do have this amazing story, enigmatic story about Jesus driving all the way, Yeshua taking his disciples all the way to Caesarea Philippi. And then we have the confession of Peter. Say, you are the Messiah. And then the answer by Yeshua, that upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers, all the gates of Hades will not prevail. And recently, and this is news, recently, during the COVID era, there were excavations at the mouth of that cave. And a new Christian pilgrimage site from the Byzantine time was revealed there. And this is in addition to another basilica-style church that we have and known for years in the Banias, because that is something special. And maybe we can just imagine that when Yeshua said the gates of Hades will not prevail, he meant that pagan area of the cave where there was kind of a gate to the underworld per this pagan belief. And he said, this will not prevail you.
New discoveries, new archaeological things happening in Israel all of the time. We're talking to Dr. Haggai Devere. We're going to have to say goodbye to you real soon, but we want to get down to the Sea of Galilee and talk about Sisita, Hippos, a very important site there. And again, that's along the Sea of Galilee. I love the Sea of Galilee. That's one of my favorite places.
Right. So we are talking about one of the cases when Yeshua crossed the other side of the sea. And then you get to the land of the Gerasenes, to the Decapolis, and we talk about the miracle of the swine. And when you come to the Sisita Hippos, which is kind of a hill on top of Kibbutz Engev, and you see the necropolis, you can see all of these caves, which used to be the graveyard. You can just read the scripture where it talks about this person that was possessed with demon, and he ran between the caves and he was calling, and then Yeshua took the demon out of him and put it into the swines, and you can see there the cliff going down, and you can just imagine 2,000 swine running and jumping into the sea. And I would like, before we end, just to conclude with some additional statement which is very, very related to our time. And this is what is written in Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is saying, when he came to Jerusalem and he took a night travel walking along the gate and the walls, and he said, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace. We have faced many months now of war, of disgrace. And it is our call to you, and it's our call to all believers, come to Israel. Let us rebuild the walls. Let us rebuild the walls. And for us, you come, you support, you pray, and we really appreciate that. And just to conclude that, I would say that in my organization, the Israel Nature and Parks Authority, we also developed a unique immersive experience to rebuild the country. And this is called Touching Time. It is an experience for groups and families when you come to an ancient biblical site and you are doing a conservation work of just 1-2 hours with your own hands, with your gloves that you get from us. And by the end of this activity, amazing activity, you get a certificate of contributor to conservation of the heritage of the land of Israel, the land of the Bible.
Traveling to Israel is life-changing. And we want to encourage you to please pray about coming to Israel. This is the wonderful time to be able to do that, to go and to see all of these things that you read about in God's Word. It truly is life-changing. And, you know, I travel to Israel a lot, but every time I travel back to the land of Israel, I am just so blessed because I know that I am coming to a place where it's real. You can touch the stones. You talked about Jerusalem and Nehemiah and the walls of Jerusalem. You can touch those old stones. You can be there. You can read God's word, and it really is life-changing. Dr. Haggai, thank you so much for all that you do. And he is with the Israel Nature and Parks Authority, a wonderful organization there. They've got these beautiful parks all over the land of Israel. We are so grateful for everything that you do there in the land of Israel. I'm so honored to be able to sit across from you here in the United States. Last time we spoke, it was in Israel, but it's so beautiful to see you again. May you be blessed as you travel back to Israel, as you do what God has called you to do, to just encourage people to come to the beautiful land of Israel.
Thank you so much, John. It was my pleasure, and look forward to seeing you and others in the land of Israel.
As we wrap up this edition of the Middle East Report, I want to thank you for praying for Mike Huckabee, President Trump's nominee for ambassador to Israel. Well, he's no longer a nominee. He is the U.S. ambassador to Israel. He was confirmed by the U.S. Senate this week. And this is a very exciting development for everybody who loves Israel. Of course, Mike Huckabee, former governor, former pastor, an evangelical, somebody who loves the Jewish people, loves the land of Israel. He will do a fantastic job. So he is now Ambassador Mike Huckabee to Israel. Congratulations. And of course, during the confirmation hearings, the Democrats were just not very happy that he was going to be the U ambassador to Israel. But all of that is now in the past, as Ambassador Mike Huckabee will be moving to Israel with his wife and assuming the responsibilities there as U.S. ambassador to Israel. I want to encourage you, again, please pray for Mike. He is going to be doing a lot there. He's got a lot on his plate. Of course, he's leaving his family here in the United States, his grandchildren, his children. Pray for him in that regard as well. I know it's a huge sacrifice for Mike Huckabee to do this, but he feels like this is what God has called him to do. And as he has said in the past, you know, if the president asked him to do anything else, he would have said, nope, I'm not doing that. But when the president called him and said, hey, I want you to be the ambassador to Israel, he said, all right, I really do believe that is what God has for me. And so he accepted that position. And now Ambassador Mike Huckabee, continue to pray for him. Something else you need to pray about is the Prime Minister of Israel is in the United States. He's going to be talking to our president, President Donald Trump, about things going on in Iran with all of their nuclear ambitions. A lot of people feel like that Iran is very close to getting a nuclear bomb, something that our president, Trump, has said that is not going to happen. And of course, Netanyahu says absolutely not. And our president has threatened military action. And there's going to be some direct talks, apparently, from what I'm understanding and hearing in the news, between the United States and Iran to try to defuse that situation and try to come up with a deal. So a lot going on, a lot for us to be praying about. And I want to encourage you to do that because prayer really does make a difference. There's no doubt about that. Hey, thank you for listening to the Middle East Report. I'm John Riley. I want to encourage you, get a podcast of the show wherever you get your podcast or on all the major podcast platforms out there, AFR.net, and all the other platforms out there. Just search for the Middle East Report. Thanks for listening.